You know, there's so much going on in the world, it's difficult to really understand. Even those of us who are following the Lord and reading the Bible, sometimes you look at the Bible and you think, how does this apply? But, you know, in my long career as a Christian journalist, I've tried to help people understand what God is saying. And one of the things that I have done, and I'm not the only one to do this, is to tap in to people that God has anointed to help us understand. Hello, everyone. I'm Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. My guest today is Pastor Alan DeDio from Charlotte, North Carolina. And God has raised him up as a prophetic voice. He is a YouTuber. That's a relatively new phenomenon. He's got 500,000 followers, including me. I'm reading his book right now. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But I reached out to him and I said, I want to do a podcast on what you believe God is saying with all this stuff going on, with Trump being found guilty, with all the stuff about Biden falling down and all these things, all this speculation, with Gay Pride Month dominating the news. You can't turn anywhere and not see about Pride Month. So you don't want to miss my conversation with Alan DeDio. Stay tuned. Welcome back. And Alan, thank you for fitting this in. I know you're so very, very busy. I mean, just doing your own podcast and pastoring your church up there in Charlotte.
And, well, Steve, it's an honor to be with you, honestly. Anytime I have a chance to talk with you, you're a well of wisdom, and I know your viewers already know this, but the people you've connected with over the years, normally you and I get lost in conversation because I want to hear about, oh, you knew this person? Yeah, I knew that person. I interviewed them, and I'm like, oh, well, tell me about that person. So it's an honor to talk with you. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Really what you're saying is I'm an old guy, and I've known a lot of people over the years. And, of course, in my line of work, it's my job to kind of know who's doing what, and So when I reached out to you, you sent me a very interesting email on something that you felt the Lord was saying. And I want to kind of start there. And also there's a prophetic word that you found from 1981. I think it's so interesting to find these prophetic words. You know, I've been covering prophecy. Listen, I'm a big advocate of prophecy. It's one of the ministry gifts, of course, but it's so abused, or at least it seems to be, either people totally ignore it and say it's not for today, or some people actually use it for manipulation. That's probably a discussion for a different day. Or they're just cavalier about what's prophesied. So I was so interested to watch this video. In fact, I watched it several times. But start with what you were sharing with me that I think is so important for my viewers and listeners today to hear. What is God saying to you about America?
Well, leading into the last election, before the last election, I was asking the Lord about, you know, what are you saying right now? And he gave me one word, and the word was terminal. And the term terminal, obviously, negative connotations come to mind. It means the end of life, coming to the conclusion. It means to be near death. But there's another meaning to it as well that also means a convergence, a place of convergence where things come together. And the Lord spoke to me and said, the future of America will be determined by their reaction to me, and it'll be terminal. It'll either be the end or it'll be a convergence where things come together and power is generated. But as I sought the Lord more in depth on that word terminal, because there seemed to be an emphasis on the negative side of that, the Lord spoke these words to me. And when I initially shared it on my broadcast on Encounter Today, it upset a lot of people. But I think people need to hear this, but hear it all the way through. The first words he gave me were, America will not survive, but she can be revived. So I began to dig into that. And again, this was before the last election. And if anyone looks back over the last 4 years or even over the last 8 years, America is not what she was. Even further than that, obviously. But America is not what she was. I think we could honestly say that the America that we knew, that we loved, is no longer in existence. But does that mean that her best days are behind her? I don't believe that's true. America will not survive, but she can be revived. And immediately, my mind went to John chapter 11 with the story of Lazarus, where Lazarus was dead and Jesus wept over this situation. And people thought it was because of Lazarus' condition, and it wasn't Lazarus' condition. He was weeping over the unbelief of those around him, that they didn't think that he could revive a dead situation. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I think the same message needs to be given to the American church today, many of whom are weeping over the condition of America. They need to be emboldened in their faith to know that he is the resurrection and the life, and that like Lazarus, America, though dead, can be revived, and her greatest days could be in front of her.
Well, what is this form going to take? You know, all my life, people have been talking about revival, and we've seen a few revivals. The Jesus movement of the 1970s, the late 60s and early 70s was a revival. There are a lot of things that you can point to. I mean, even Calvary Chapel came out of that revival, and a lot of the leaders today were greatly influenced by that revival, including people like Mario Murillo and if I can humbly say myself. The Catholic Charismatic Renewal was a revival. And then, of course, there was revivals at Brownsville, in Florida, in Toronto. You know, they tend to come and go. But even people like Rodney Howard Brown, or I'll even say people like Charles and Francis Hunter, had great followings, made a lot of difference. People got excited. A lot of lives were changed. But, Alan, it's hard to measure the long-term effect of that, and the wider culture probably doesn't even know who the Happy Hunters were or Rodney Howard Brown, other than he's got a great ministry in Tampa, Florida. But it's almost like our culture rejects anything of the gospel, saying it's just religion. And it seems to me that a lot of Christian leaders actually are timid to get out there in the fray, lest they be criticized or ostracized or whatever. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. It's really hard to measure the impact of revival in the moment. If you study revival history, those in the Second Great Awakening, even in the First Great Awakening, they didn't realize, many of them had no clue that they were in the middle of a Great Awakening. They just thought the Lord was moving in their personal lives, and they made individual choices. They decided to live holy. They made better choices for their families and for themselves individually, not knowing that those individual choices culminated in a turnaround for the United States of America. And I think the same is true for us today. It's really hard to gauge and to judge the impact of what's happening. Even when we look at Roe versus Wade being overturned, that was done in the middle of the Biden administration. And we would have thought that something like that would have been done in the middle of the Trump administration, even though he triggered it through the appointment of certain judges. But that just goes to show you, individual decisions, small decisions, seemingly insignificant, made for the glory of God, when they accumulate, they have a cumulative effect on society and on culture. And I think what's happening is that over the last 4 years in particular, but eight specifically, there's been an awakening of people deciding to make different decisions, not only about who they vote for, but why they vote the way they vote, the things that they talk about, the things they're willing to submit to, the things they're willing to do. And these small things that have begun to accumulate, I think people are at a point now where they've just said enough is enough. So I think we're going to see the results of it. It just can't be measured in the moment that we're in right now.
Boy, I agree with you. In fact, I had the opportunity to be interviewed on Fox News, and the reporter was asking me about Christians, you know, who are they supporting and so on. And we're not here to discuss that, but I'll just say that I said that a lot of people are saying enough is enough.
Yes.
And that's one reason why they, in my opinion, they, a lot of Christians back Trump, even though he is not exactly the
a paragon of
child. You know, I do believe he's cleaned up his act, and all of us have been forgiven of things in our past. You know, we're not here to discuss that, but I think that we need not avoid certain things, trying to be, I think there is almost a political correctness in the church. You know, you're not supposed to talk about certain things. You're not supposed to bring politics into it. And I think that part of the problem is, you know, our country's been divided, and this tendency in our country has been going on for a long, long time. I mean, you can draw a straight line back to Woodrow Wilson and a lot of the things that happened in the 1920s. Mm-hmm. There were communists in the universities in the 30s, but that was kind of squelched by World War II. You know, and then there was the Cold War and all this other kind of stuff going on, the civil rights movement, the war in Vietnam. And the left has been getting its way for a long, long time. Now, meanwhile, there have been revivals. And I think that you're absolutely right. It's hard to see the effect of revival until later. I sense that there is kind of a groundswell. There's an awful lot of young people in what they call Gen Z who are actually turned on for the Lord. It Yes. tends to be a relatively small percentage. But you know what? It's always been a relatively small percentage of young people that were turned on, even during the Jesus movement. But I will say, listen, that was my generation. And it looked like a whole generation was going to hell in a handbasket, and something shifted in our country. You know, everybody was a hippie back then. You don't even find a hippie except for a handful of people in the mountains of Northern California, you know, who are
you
bald.
And I know a few believers who are still carrying the torch.
Oh, well, maybe so. But I mean, it actually shifted the whole country kind of became a little bit more conservative. And we're not talking about politically necessarily, but we need that kind of shift to happen. The news media, of course, is not our friend at all, but the news media never has. You know, back when I was a young journalist, the news media was biased against Christians and things of the Lord. And the politicians were too. So what do you think is going to happen in the next 6 months or a year? Where is this going? How is America revived?
Well, to speak to what you just said, Samuel Adams at the founding of this nation said, it does not take a majority, but an irate minority bent on setting brush fires in the hearts and minds of men and women. And what is unique now to the body of Christ, as well as to this generation, is their access to social media, meaning they're able to communicate how their minds have changed, how they've been transformed with more people than they ever have before. When you talk about the political correctness of the day, this generation is done with political correctness. They're done with the party politics, which, of course, George Washington warned against the dangers of party politics. We're at a place right now where people are just fed up with that entire system, and they want to see genuine truth. This is what Mario Murillo refers to, stolen thunder, when we have people like Jordan Peterson and Ben Shapiro fill stadiums with people coming, and there's not a light show, there's no concert, there's no music, there's no smoke machine, there's no fog machine. People just want to hear somebody being genuine and telling the truth about what's going on around them. And I think if the church will get a hold of that and realize that it's not about the show, it's not about how good your music is or your children's ministry, although all those things can be important. If we could just get back to being genuine, genuinely telling the truth, we're going to see a transformation. I think they have overplayed their hand over the last few years with what's been happening with Trump. Even liberals are seeing how radical and how crazy and how partisan this has become, and they don't want anything to do with it. So when I think about the election, if I can be honest with you, when I think about what's coming, it's hard for me to imagine Trump on the ballot. Not because I wouldn't support that, not because I wouldn't vote for that, not because I don't think he'll be there. But every time I try to think about it, the Lord takes my mind back to the church. Because when I try to think about whatever political candidate is going to be on the ballot, he takes my mind back to the church, specifically to Revelation 2 and 3, that we need to get our house in order. And don't be putting all of our eggs in one political basket. That's going to be helpful, getting someone in office who'll do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. They don't have to be saved. They just need to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's helpful. But when we become dependent on that, that's when it becomes a problem. So we all need to rally. We need to support. We need to put that individual in office. But I believe that the church needs to recognize we are the answer. And what happens locally is going to be the most important thing that happens in the coming years. Your city council, your county commission, your school board, your sheriff's office. That's where the real power lies. So no matter what mandates come down from the top, if we can get our foothold in the local community, we can see transformation. And I think that's what's happening. We're seeing this with school board meetings, churches showing up and rallying around conservative values and kicking out a lot of these radical liberal ideas where they want to transition your kids without approval from parents. Just what's happening right now is so triggering in a good way to Christians that we're going to see the reaction we've been looking for a long, long time. It's just, it's sad it had to take this long to get there.
And this is more than just one election or one politician, because even if Donald Trump is elected, and I believe that he will, I believe that that's the way the trends are going, just because of the nature of what's happening, he's only going to be in for 4 years. We're right. going to have these, a lot of these same problems in the future. So it's going to take people getting involved. And you're right, the church has to rise up. But I think a lot of Christians, me included, are hesitant to get involved in politics because the parties and the political process is just so vile
and corrupt.
And it's not a whole lot of difference in either party.
No, that's exactly right. The establishment, the uniparty that we've discovered since the era of Trump, more so than we ever have before, we see that it's really just one big political system that feeds off of itself and uses us. You know, politics, the common phrase, poly meaning many, ticks meaning blood-sucking animals.
that's funny.
That's what we're dealing with. And more than ever, we used to, you know, get on our partisan sides and think we can't criticize our own side because that'll hinder them from winning. And so we get in this team sport. I think that's broken now. I think Trump broke that for a lot of people when we realize we're going to hold all the politicians accountable. Whether they say they're for us, whether they say they're conservative, we want to know for sure. We're going to watch every move you make, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire. But with everything we've seen, it seems like every election, you would know this better than I, it seems to be more messianic in nature, the way we talk about it, as if, you know, this president is going to stop the rising of the seas, and this one is going to cleanse the swamp, and this one's going to do this. But I think it's never been more urgent than it is right now. I think it really is the most important election of our time. And you and I were talking about this, and we were going over this prophetic word that Charles Capps gave way back in 1981. And it's so stunningly and eerily specific to what we're dealing with now. It's hard to imagine what else it could have been talking about. And of course, we're talking about that. And Charles Capps is, you're like, well, I knew him and I spent some time with him.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Charles Capps because I want to play that. And, you know, if you watch the news media, they say practically nothing about God, the church, anything, unless it's somehow making fun of it. So they wouldn't take into account at all. And listen, if you watch the news media, you can get depressed. God isn't doing anything. No one goes to church. No one cares about the Bible. But seeing a prophecy like this from 1981 is very, very encouraging. So let's watch it, then I want you to comment on it.
There are going to be men that are going to be framed and conspiracies against them to remove them from high positions and to keep some from getting in high positions. There will be great pains and great effort given to put them down and expose them and reveal things that are lies against them to deliver them from high government positions. But in the end, it shall be that there will be a turning around of what the enemy has wrought and bring forth the manifestation, and those that have done it will be exposed and expelled, and those that have been conspired against shall rise to higher government position. For this nation shall walk in the ways of the Lord, for my people have interceded and called upon me and believed me for supernatural things, and now you're going to see it, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be God forevermore. Thank you, Father.
So explain what we just heard and how that relates to 2024.
Praise God, right? What an accurate picture of what, not only the Trump administration, many people have said this, but it bears repeating, that it's not about Trump. It's about you. He's a proxy for you. If they can take him down, they can take you down. And the accusations that have come against him, and going into the election, I actually compared Trump to Joash. And when Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, began to take power, She thought she had kicked out all of the righteous seed, but they managed to preserve Joash. And when they brought him back in, she began to cry, "Treason, treason." And the people of God rose up against her and was able to put a righteous man in power. Now, I think where we are right now is very, very similar. And what an exciting word by Charles Capps. And Annette Capps has done an amazing job of taking that ministry to the next level. The trajectory of his ministry was interesting. You knew him, and you knew that he was a faith teacher. He was a farmer who got saved and began to teach based off his agricultural experience, how that applied to the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, after decades of ministry, the Lord spoke to him and had him shift his focus to an end-time eschatological focus. And I wonder if that's parabolic to what he's doing with a lot of ministries right now, that he's saying there's a difference between a ministry and an end-time ministry that's walking in the urgency to occupy until the Lord comes. And that's where that prophetic ear came from, I believe, to be able to hear those words, walk in those things. And I think the body of Christ needs to learn from that example. But there have been lots of accusations that have been hurled. I think we've seen this fulfilled in our lifetime. And if that's the case, we're going to see the latter end of that prophecy fulfilled, where he's going to raise up some kings, set down some kings, and the prayers of the righteous have been heard, and we're going to see the manifestation of them in the coming days.
You know, interesting that you put it that way, because you've written a book about prayer.
Yes.
And about end times. It's called Armed for Victory, Prayer Strategies That Unlock the End Times. And I'm reading that book right now. It's excellent. I'd encourage people buy it. I guess, what do they say? Wherever books are sold?
Wherever fine books are sold.
That's right.
Yeah, wherever fine books are
sold. Usually easiest online. But as we wrap up the short podcast, I want to give you the last word and have you tell my listeners and viewers how they can connect with you, your ministry, Encounter Today. I know you have a conference. In fact, you and I did a podcast on it just a week or so ago. And also, just maybe make some conclusions. We've bounced all over, kind of like a ping pong ball, because these issues are complex. There's many different sides to it. It's hard to understand sometimes. One thing leads to another. I think it's important to discuss the issues as we have just now, but I'd like to leave the viewer and listener with an understanding of what they just heard and what next steps are.
I believe this will be our finest hour, that there is going to be, we're going to see a civil war within the church, and I'm speaking spiritually, that there's going to be a divide within the church, the house of David separating from the house of Saul. And we're going to see those Davidic anointings rising in this season, where men and women of God that you've never heard of before are going to all of a sudden take the scene and take the place of a lot of the corrupt. I believe everything we see in politics and in our nation is just an extension of what's already happening in the spirit. And so what we see happening in politics, know that there's corruption in the church as well. And there's a lot of accusation in the church, a lot of false accusation. And we're going to see all of that exposed. We're going to see the cream rise to the top. Some are going to be removed. Some are going to be put in place. But this is going to be the church's finest hour. You're going to see the rise of the local church in the coming days. You're going to see them taking positions to actually turn their cities around. I truly believe that. And that's going to be what cascades into a mighty awakening for this nation. That'll be what revives the nation. Not a mega ministry somewhere. All due respect for those who have those, and I believe God will use them. It'll be the individual local churches that God raises up. Some of them have 50 people in them, but they'll be the ones standing outside an abortion clinic and getting it shut down. The state of Kentucky has, on record recently, zero abortions. Zero abortions on record in the state of Kentucky. That's a revival that has saved thousands of lives. I think we're going to see similar things happening through the local church, through the average believer. Everyone has a voice, and God needs you to raise it right now. So I think that's where we are right now. It's an exciting time to be alive, and greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Alan DeDio. I hope you'll share it with friends, people who maybe need some answers, and this podcast will provide them. Of course, I want to encourage you to subscribe to my channel Hit the little bell so that you're notified every time that we're on, every Tuesday and Thursday. We've got some really exciting podcasts coming up. And I want to remind you that this is my latest book, Spirit-Led Living in an Upside-Down World. If you haven't read it, I believe it would be a great blessing to you. It's available on Amazon.com and also my own website, which is called mycharismashop.com. So until next time, God bless you.